The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and for everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Of all the words that would deem to be a dirty word in our society, I would never imagine prayer to be one of them. There seems to be a trend where people prefer to offer and request for thoughts and vibes as opposed to prayer. It's not completely out of line because of the way the word prayer has been used. It's been given a hollow meaning. For some time, the phrase thoughts and prayers has been nothing more than a platitude for some, which is precisely how it's become a dirty word in some circles in our society. The concept of prayer has been abused and weaponized. If tragedy strikes or we experience a tragedy, something that we don't want in a given situation, there are some that have said that it's your fault. You didn't have enough faith or you didn't pray hard enough. That's how people are pushing back or resisting the word prayer. It's one of the many reasons. A theme that we see in our lessons today is that prayer and persistence can not only change things, but can seemingly change God's mind. What is the purpose of prayer? Is it to change God, or does prayer change us? Those questions in itself can be problematic if we don't get to the heart of it all. On the one hand, God is not some kind of cosmic vending machine. See, we see these themes in our lessons today of prayer and persistence and the prospect that God can change God's mind. And then we find ourselves hoping we can get God to do what we want. That line of thinking is rooted in my will be done. It's not a biblical or Christian concept, by the way. It also provides a passive approach to life in thinking that God will take care of everything, never realizing that there are times where you can be the answer to your own prayer. This is the kind of magical thinking that people are rejecting when turned off by the word prayer in our society. On the other hand, thinking that prayer only changes us does nothing more than saying that we should just be resigned to whatever life throws our way, that we should use prayer solely to develop a thicker skin to whatever life offers us to endure. What Jesus is teaching us when it comes to prayer is to remember that we are in relationship with a loving parent, that God is our Father, and the foundation of prayer is communication grounded in a trusting relationship with this loving parent. But our arrogance gets the best of us. If we don't get what we want, why bother? If what happens is just inevitable, why bother? That's what Steve Albertson points out here. He says, why bother to pray if everything is set in stone anyway? Why bother to pray if we can never be sure that we have said the right words or with the right passion? Why bother if the cancer still kills, the rain never comes, or the marriage still crumbles? Truth be told, we're tired of praying when the God who promises to listen never seems to hear the pleas from our lips. With this conclusion, we are exposed for the evil folks we are, referencing verse 13 in Luke's gospel today. All we asked for was what we wanted. Isn't that what prayer is supposed to do for us? Of course we know what God thinks of such arrogance. God is love, and our God is not silent. We may feel that God is silent at times in our lives, but God continues to speak even in those times when we do not hear God. When God speaks to us through word and sacrament, the good news that God conveys to us each and every time we gather around word and sacrament is, I love you. The good news is that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you look at Romans 8, when we're assured of that, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 doesn't say you're going to get everything you want. It doesn't say everything's going to go your way. It actually prepares you for all the things in this world that can come your way. But none of that, not even death itself, can separate you from this loving relationship that we have with the living God. Our God is not silent or absent, but still speaking to us and is always with us. When we pray, and it feels like the inevitable will still happen, that still does not have the final word. When Jesus was crucified and laid in the tomb was sealed shut, and we thought Jesus would remain silent forever, that fate was set in stone. But the gift and promise of the resurrection has broken through. Prayer is not a one-way communication. Prayer is a conversation between us and God. And in dying on the cross, God has spoken to the world loud and clear. The love of God knows no bounds. God's love is for all people. God's love is for you and me. Even in our arrogance, sinfulness, and brokenness, God's love is for you and me, and God's love still pursues us. God seeks to constantly remind us of this love and wants to wrap us in it. Prayer is a conversation with a loving parent. Prayer is not something we have to do. It is something that, or nor is it something that involves a magic formula to help us get it right. Prayer is a conversation with the divine. And it is God who got the conversation started. We belong to God, and God wants us to always remember that this is the truth that we cling to, that we belong to God and all the promises that are attached with it. The Lord's Prayer is a gift that takes the burden off the idea that we need to get prayer right. We're now free from the stress of needing to have the right formula. Because God doesn't need our words to be affected. God just want effective. God just wants us to reach out. God wants us to trust and place our faith in the living God. In our gospel lesson, we have that image of persistence. We continue to be persistent in this conversation. We give up too easy when we reduce prayer to being something of just getting what we want or just about being resigned to the inevitable. Keep persisting to see what God has in store for you. Keep searching, keep knocking. One door might be closed, but another door might be open. Keep searching for the ways God is still speaking to you to see where the blessings are, even in the midst of the turmoil that you're confronted with in life. It is with this understanding, it's not about getting what we want. It's not with that notion that people throw out there that you've heard people say, well, you know, thy will be done. You know, they throw that out to people. But they don't finish the part of the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. Right? That's been weaponized and abused when we say to people that just are at their wit's end, well, God's will be done. No. On earth as it is in heaven, folks. Finish the whole thing. Because the God who is love does not will for illness or cancer to take a life. The God who is love does not will for accidents that injure or kill. That's the type of insinuation and abuse that can destroy a person's faith, which understandably gets them to reject all of this because they're not presented with the God who is love. They're presented with then a God who is hurtful, indifferent, or an absentee landlord at best. We pray because God loves us. And God desires to bless God's children. It might not be what we want. It might not be simply to just have the strength to endure. But it's about listening to how God might want to bless us in the midst of a situation that seems hopeless. Or the conclusion seems to be set, sealed, shut, set in stone. God is still speaking to us. God still wants to bless each and every one of us. Because we are people that believe in the promise of death and resurrection. Where is God speaking to us? Where are the new blessings that can be seen? Where is new life to be experienced? See, if we just don't get what we want and turn away, we're not opening our eyes. We're no longer listening. We're no longer part of that conversation. We don't always get what we want. But we get what we need. How many of us would be really disappointed in life if we always got what we wanted? Right? But God always gives us what we need. Trust in that identity. Trust in that belonging that we heard in Colossians today. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. We belong to God. We are God's beloved. And God wants to bless us always. And God is calling us to be persistent in prayer. May we have faith that prayer does not simply change things. But it does change things, but not through the magical ways that we might envision it or the way popular culture envisions it. May we not look at prayer as just being resigned to a predetermined future. But let's look at prayer first and foremost, trusting in our God in Christ Jesus, that it is that love that binds us together. It is that love that's at the heart and foundation of our prayer life that changes things. It's grounded in that love. Love poured out for us on the cross transformed the whole world. Love poured out on the cross transforms you and me. This divine love cannot be broken. This divine love, we cannot be separated from it. And Jesus is teaching us to pray here with that love in mind. A God who wants to feed us daily. A God who wants God's kingdom to be a reality today. A God who wants to remind us of the forgiveness we have, that when we fall short and make mistakes, we have that forgiveness so that we can continue to move forward in this world. And that we would be saved from the time of trial, again, so that we are free to move forward in this world and see how God is blessing us today and not shackled to the burdens of yesterday. This is the love that we've received. This is the love that God wants to remind us about. And this is the love that we're invited to embody and share. Prayer is conversing with a loving parent, and it's entering into that divine economy of God's love. And we know that this love is meant to be shared and not simply contained to ourselves. So when Jesus is teaching us to pray here, the foundation of our prayer life is to trust in that love of God that wants to first and foremost bless us. And when we ground our prayer in that love of God, then we're going to love like God in this world. We're going to pray each day to how someone can bless us and how we can be a blessing to others. We're going to be open in our mind and heart to see God's blessings in this world in a new way. And if we're persistent in this endeavor of prayer, we will see many things change in this world, because that is precisely what God's love does. It changes things in this world and in the world to come. May we always be persistent in our life of prayer, grounded first and foremost in the God who is love and this God who loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen.